Welcome back to another episode of You Deserve More with Ben Motives and Jill Silaccio. Today, we're going to be talking about relationships. Yeah, toxic relationships and healthy relationships. Some of you people are in toxic relationships and you ain't doing nothing about it. So today, we're going to show you how. Stay tuned.
All right, we're back. It's been a while.
It's been a while, guys.
It's been a while. You know why? Because Jill's been on her pity pot.
Jill's been on her pity pot.
Because I have been on my pity pot. So, yeah, but we are back. Hey, it happens, right?
It happens.
What are you going to do, man? It happens. But we're back now, full of energy, ready to talk about something so important, and that is your relationships. And I'm not talking about a relationship with your mother or your father or your brother or your sister. We're talking about relationships with your significant other. And although you probably could use some of these tips to kind of figure out what a toxic relationship in any kind of relationship that you have, what to look for. But we're talking about intimate relationships. So getting into a relationship with a significant other, and what to look for. And we're going to start off talking about what a toxic relationship looks like. I think this is really important because there are a lot of individuals out there in toxic relationships, and a lot of them don't even know it. And we need to shed light on that. I think the divorce rate nowadays is like, what? It's like 63%. Right?
That's
marriages right. End up in divorce. And I think it's only getting higher, unfortunately. So there's obviously an issue here. And there's a lot of factors that contribute to bad relationships. And, you know, it depends on a lot of things. But we want to kind of tell you what it looks like. And then we're going to tell you what to look for in a good, healthy partner. And in a good, healthy relationship. All right. Cool beans. So to get started, okay, a toxic relationship, Ben. You've been in them and I've been in them, right?
Right. So what does a toxic relationship look like? Here's the deal. If you are fighting every single day, if you guys are not agreeing, if you guys are arguing every single day or frequently, listen, buddy, you're in a toxic relationship and you need to do something about it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't get it. I kind of do get it, but it doesn't make any sense when you're in a relationship with somebody, right? And obviously you know that it is a toxic relationship, but you keep giving the other person the benefit of the doubt when they say, going to change.
You know why we do that?
Why?
Because we're afraid that no one else is going to love us. We're afraid to be alone. And a lot of people believe that they can fix another person. Mm-hmm. And that in and of itself is toxic. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the reasons as to why people stick around, even though they know that they're in a toxic relationship. You know, when all of your family members are saying, ugh, I could see you with someone so much better, or, you know, this guy just isn't working out, or this girl is just not the one for you. You know that they're seeing something, but we're afraid to end a relationship because something tells us in our minds that there's going to be no one else, right? So I think that's part of why people do that. But we need to know what's toxic first.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you're saying, part of a toxic relationship is if you're fighting all the time. So, you know, and we're talking about there's healthy fighting, right? Where like, you know, your partner makes fun of you or jokes with you or whatever, you know, or you get into little healthy fights about different stuff, and then you communicate and then it's over.
And that's what I'm saying. You can have a healthy disagreement.
Yeah.
You can have a healthy disagreement.
Sure.
You don't have to be fighting. You don't have to be cursing. You can just agree to disagree, something like that, you know?
Yeah. I think a lot of people out there, probably a lot of our listeners, are used to, they're not used to that. I think people are used to fighting, and there is cursing, and the fighting is to hurt the other person. And that's where things get really toxic. So that is another good example of a toxicity in a relationship. If, you know, the other person is speaking to you, cursing at you, disrespecting you, and putting you down when you are arguing, you know, you always do shit like this, or, you know, oh, you're so fucking dumb, or, you know, that kind of stuff. That's abusive.
Yeah, that's very abusive. That's
disrespectful.
Verbal. That's like a whole another level of abuse.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And so you have to be aware that that's not healthy. That's not okay.
Yeah. And you shouldn't be talking at your partner. You should be talking to your partner. So if you're in a situation where you're talking at your partner, you got to check yourself, because what happens in a lot of relationships, when people argue, they like to compete with each other. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a tit for tat kind of thing. And it shouldn't be that way.
Because you want to be right.
Exactly. You're fighting to be right.
Yeah.
You did this to me, I'm going to do this to you. Mm-hmm. Right. You did this wrong, I'm going to do this wrong. Right. It doesn't make any sense. You get nowhere.
Right.
You know?
So if you're in something like that, if you're listening and you're like, oh, that sounds like my relationship, that tit for tat shit and that disrespect in the communication. Or, you know, another good example is someone that is extremely codependent, or maybe both of you are codependent on one another. So what does codependent mean? Well, we're talking about a situation where your partner is totally dependent on you. So you can't go anywhere without them asking you questions.
Yeah.
You can't be working 8 hours without them contacting you, texting you, you know, what are you doing? When are you coming home? Right. Just always on your case. You can't hang out with your friends, maybe. Because they have issues with it. They take issue with it. You know, they don't trust you, and they need to be with you all the time.
And that's sick.
It's so sick. It's so sick. But when you're in it, sometimes you don't realize how sick it is, especially just a little segue. Those of us in recovery, we're used to codependent relationships. We think that's the way it's supposed to be. And we find it insensitive when someone has a life outside of us. We think, how dare you, right? Because we think we have to be the center of the world. So a lot of people are just kind of accustomed to that type of codependence where, you know, you're together, you're doing everything together, and it's just, it's overload. And if your partner's upset and angry about something, then it changes your mood.
Yeah. It's like your happiness depends on the other person's happiness.
There you go.
You know?
There you go.
How do you live like that? It's like you don't even have a life outside of your relationship.
Right.
And that's toxic within itself.
Right.
Another thing that I like to mention, if you're not waking up happy to be with your partner frequently on a daily basis, if you guys are not flirting with each other, if you notice the kisses are different, if you're starting to notice like a lot of changes, oh, she used to be this way, now she's different, he used to be this way, now he's different, you're in a toxic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something's wrong. And you got to be very aware of these things, because like you said earlier, a lot of people are not aware because they're in it. So they can't really see what's going on on the inside of things because they're in it. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or, and you know, I mean, to your point, you were saying, you know, sometimes in healthy relationships, things can become a bore.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, no one's talking to each other. You're just kind of going through the motions and you're getting caught up in the routine, and we get really, really comfortable. And that happens, right? Because the honeymoon phase kind of goes away. And so it's like, oh, well, this is what it is. And you think, you know, so anyway, the spark kind of dims just a little bit, but it's up to us to keep that going.
Yeah.
And if you care enough, you will keep it going. You're going to have down periods where the two of you are going to act like an old couple. Right?
Yep.
You don't go out as much, whatever. Things are going to change. As long as you bring it back and you recenter, that's different. That's a healthy thing. But if you get caught up in that routine and there's no spontaneity anymore and you're just kind of there out of obligation because you just don't feel like dealing with anything, that's toxic for sure. The other thing is emotional manipulation. A lot of people are involved in relationships with individuals that are emotionally manipulative. So what does that look like? So we have a few different scenarios, and for the sake of time, I'll keep this brief. But some examples of some emotional manipulation would be an individual that is maybe isolating you from your friends, your social network, your family. You're not allowed to talk to anybody but them. They always have negative things to say about your family or your friends. This is a person that wants to keep you kind of isolated.
Why do you think people do that though? Like, what's the payoff? What do you think?
Well, it promotes control. Right. So if I'm in a relationship with you and I am keeping you from your loved ones that know you best, and I know that they're going to try to steer you away from me because mm-hmm. I am a toxic person, then my best position is to keep you close to me. Right.
Yeah.
And do a little something called triangulation. Right. So this is where I'm going to talk to you about your mother and how, you know, your mother was saying some things about you and da, 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 and make the family and the friends look like negative influences and making myself look like the good influence to keep you close to me, to keep it under control. That way you're kind of at my will.
Yeah, definitely get it. And I definitely agree. I also think people try to keep their significant other away from their family members or their friends because of insecurities, because of trust issues, you know?
For sure.
Definitely.
I think the control issues and someone that's manipulative like that, I think it all stems from insecurity, for sure. So that's a really good point. The person can't handle you being with anyone or doing anything without them or being with anyone but them. And sometimes it can get really, really dangerous. So these are some things you want to look for. If these are things that are going on in your relationship right now, you know, you want to surround yourself with support and get some help and get some support so that you can get out of it before it gets worse, you know. If you're in an abusive relationship right now, there are plenty of resources that you can utilize to get help as well. And in those types of abusive relationships, of course, we want to be very careful strategically with how we handle. And if you want to reach out to us on the show, we can give you steps on how to handle those types of situations. Don't just leave. That's the most dangerous thing to do in those types of abusive relationships. There's a certain protocol that you need to follow. So don't hesitate to reach out to us and we can help you with that.
Yes. And speaking about abusive relationships, the thing about abusive relationships is that there are certain cues that you got to look for. For example, like you mentioned earlier, the controlling factor. Mm-hmm. If your boyfriend or your husband or your girlfriend or your wife is controlling, that's a sign that that person is also physically abusive.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you got to be aware of that. You got to pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. You got to ask yourself or even ask them, where is this behavior coming from? Because it's coming from somewhere. Mm-hmm. And if you don't pay attention to it, it's going to catch you off guard. Mm-hmm. You know? So you got to pay attention when you got somebody who's controlling. Absolutely. Because it's not a good sign.
No, it's not. And it's really easy to fall under their control and to get wrapped up in it and to lose your own identity. Mm-hmm. And that is what they want, so that it makes you weak.
Yes.
And you're not able to set boundaries and get out of it. So, you know, it only gets worse in those types of situations. So that's a really, that's probably one of the most important things I think to look for when it comes to being in a toxic relationship is that control. The other thing that is important to look at as well is if you're in a relationship with someone and it's very draining.
Draining. Oh my God.
Right?
Can you imagine?
I can. Because I've been in very toxic relationships. I've also been, those of you that are listeners, our regular listeners, you know that I'm a person in recovery. So I've also been the abuser in different ways. So I do know what that looks like, unfortunately. But if it's draining to be around someone and you have these little bursts of, they call it love bombing, where I heard this today. I love it. So it's like a really draining situation, like being in the relationship. You have to keep things from the abusive person, right? And you have to kind of like keep things. You don't want to rock the boat, in other words. And the manipulator, the person that is controlling the relationship or abusive in the relationship will like love bomb you. So they love bomb you. They're giving you compliments. They're all over you. They're being extra affectionate because they want to get something from you. And it's like super uber manipulative. But you'll have these short bursts of this and it makes you think that the person loves you, right? It makes you think, oh, everything's okay now. And then before you know it, like they get what they want and then it's like, fuck you again. So that can be really draining. Wow. So if it doesn't feel good when you're with the person, there's a problem.
There is a, like, you know, like,
it's not supposed to be like that.
If you're with your significant other and you don't feel satisfied, you're in a toxic relationship. You know, if you're, let's say you go to work from 9 to 5 and you get home and you're still stressing out, you're still stressed out, nothing can change that mood, you gotta be in a toxic relationship. Because I don't care how stressful my day is. I know when I get home to my girlfriend, I'm going to be happy.
Yeah. You know,
I'm going to be good. Mm-hmm. Because that, I think your significant other should be like your source, your go-to source when you're stressed out.
For sure.
And if you don't have that, you're in a toxic relationship.
Toxic relationship. Or you've just settled for something that, you know, you feel like it's just not out there for you. You know, those types of relationships like you're describing. You and I have been very fortunate with good relationships and very stable people. For me, and I know we talked a little bit about this with you as well, we have our experiences in really bad relationships.
Definitely.
And that's why we put this list together. We kind of are using our own experiences to share with you and what it looks like being on both sides, being the person that was, you know, kind of creating a toxic relationship and also the person that fell victim to a toxic relationship. It's a little bit of both of us. So, you know, we know what we're talking about. And for our listeners that are in recovery, I just want to say that every relationship in early recovery is toxic, and I'll tell you why. The reason why is because you're not yet able to figure out who you are, what you want, what you need, what's good for you, what your identity is. Therefore, you are in a relationship, or if you get involved in a relationship too soon, it's not about give and take. It's not something you can participate in emotionally, because emotionally you're dysfunctional. So if you get involved in a relationship in early recovery and you don't have these key parts of development in place emotionally, then it's automatically toxic, because you can't put your recovery first and work these steps and get sober and figure yourself out and figure out what a good relationship looks like at the same time. It's just an impossible situation.
I think it's complicated. You know, and anything that's complicated is going to create stress.
Right.
And when stress comes in the picture for addicts in recovery, most likely you're going to use, mm-hmm. you know, so you're looking for a relapse. The minute you get involved in a relationship, knowing that you're not supposed to be in one.
Right.
Come on. It's going to complicate things. Yeah. That's why. And I'm pretty sure you heard this a lot of times. Yeah. What do we tell our clients?
1 year.
1 year. Right.
Keep it simple. Right.
Kiss.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Exactly. Why are you looking for a relationship? You know how stressful a relationship gets? I think people don't realize that being in a relationship is like having a job.
It's work.
It's work.
It's work. But it's like having a job that you love. I want to clarify that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something you're devoted to it and you are nursing it and you're nurturing it. And you care about it and you want to put on your best performance and do the best that you can for that relationship. And that's what we're going to get into. We're going to start talking about what a good relationship looks like. So anyway, you know, we tell you a year for a reason, but you're not going to listen to that anyway. So I'm going to tell you, no bullshit. I didn't listen to that suggestion and I really paid the price for that. So that's why I'm sharing that with you guys, because I got involved with a lot of individuals that I had no business getting involved with, that had no business getting involved with me. And it really caused me a lot of pain that I didn't have to go through. And so then, because I didn't wait 1 year, I had to wait 2 years after going through a lot of pain and a lot of drama until I could be in another relationship. And I'm so glad that I did that. But because I found an incredible man today. But, you know, anyway, just a little side note. So when we are looking for a good relationship, how do we know we're in a good relationship? How do we know what to look for and what that looks like? Well, I think one of the first things is taking your time.
Oh, man. Patience.
Patience. Because Ben and I were talking about this before we started the podcast today. The first thing that you think when you meet somebody that's slightly interested, it's like, oh, like you're picturing your wedding day, right? You're picturing getting a dog together, having kids, having a house, the whole nine, right? And then, you know, you've known this person for 5 fucking seconds. And if you don't take your time with it and you're rushing through something based on a fantasy, you're missing really important high alerts that you need to look out for.
Yes, like they just look at the physical aspects of it. Oh, he's handsome. Oh, she's so beautiful.
Yeah.
But you know nothing about this person. Mm-hmm. You get so caught up in the physical attraction and it just gets you going for like a couple of weeks, a couple of months. And then when the real person comes out, you're like, oh my God, mm-hmm. what did I get myself into? You know?
Right.
So I think you gotta get to know somebody before you enter that relationship. You really gotta get to know them. And not just them. You gotta know their family background. You gotta know their history. I know it sounds like a lot, but these are the things that you gotta know. How were they raised? You know? How were they raised? What kind of household did they grow up in? Did they grow up in a chaotic environment? Because if they did, they're going to bring that same chaos into their relationship. So
yeah,
you're going to be in a toxic relationship if you're not careful.
Yeah. And we're really fortunate, you and I, Ben, because we've studied psychology and we've studied what healthy relationships look like. So we mm-hmm. know what to look for. And I mean, I'll be at Target or something shopping and I'll be looking at people and, you know, I'm analyzing people up and down all fucking day. And there's like a couple, maybe they're arguing about something, they got the kids, whatever. And my analytical mind, my psychology mind is going, oh boy, like this is a really toxic situation. And I just need to go over there and give them a few, you know, pointers, you know, so we can notice it really quick, but a lot of people just don't, they don't know that, you know, yeah. And they're not asking for help.
They think it's normal, you know, you have an argument. Yeah. Like, you argue with your spouse, and then what? You have sex, and it's great, and then we just do it all over again.
Oh, well, that people love, the drama.
Exactly. So it's like, to them,
yeah,
it's not a problem. It's not an issue.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it really is.
It really is. But if you don't want help with it and you like it that way, I don't want anyone listening to think you have to change something that you like. If you like that chaos and drama, have at it. Hey, that's fine.
If that's you,
that's fine.
That's on you.
I just can't do it. You know, Ben just can't do it. But, you know, you do you. That's what this is about. But chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, there's something going on in your relationship.
There's something, right? And check this out.
Yeah.
I know we didn't mention this earlier, and I know that it sounds so obvious, but if you are with your partner and he or she is cheating on you, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're in the wrong relationship.
Tell him, Ben.
That's not a healthy relationship. Cut loose. Get out. Get out. Don't be afraid you're going to find somebody. There are so many people in this world. You're not going to be lonely, right? Exactly. You got it.
I'm surprised we didn't mention that. Cheating. You know, because I was thinking about like things before the cheating happens. But the truth is, there's active cheating going on in many relationships, and the other person knows about it. And that is so heartbreaking to hear about, because it doesn't have to be that way. And I think so many people just believe that that's just, I don't know, they've just accepted it. If someone cheats, they will always cheat.
They're all, oh man.
Whether you know it or not, it's just that way. And if someone can't be faithful to you, they probably won't be. So if that's what you've resigned yourself to in your relationship, and you know that there's active cheating going on, I'm sorry you have to go through that. I'm sorry you're settling for that. There are, love does not allow that to happen.
But what about the excuse that a lot of people say? Oh, well, when you love somebody, you forgive them and you give them another chance.
Right.
You know?
That's fine. And then talk to me when you give them the other chance and let me know how that works out for you, because it's not gonna. Yeah. Now, again, there are also many relationships out there. See, everything's so complex nowadays. There are a lot of open relationships out there. Okay. So there are people that are married and maybe they are open. We got swingers. We got people that go out and, you know, maybe they like to have relationships with the same sex or the opposite sex or whatever it is. And if that's the rules in your relationship, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Again, we're not really talking about that either. We're just talking about somebody doing something that you're not okay with, yeah, but you're letting it happen. That is not okay.
So if you're not okay with it, if you're not happy, just get out. Find somebody that's healthy. So what are some other ways in which people can force a healthy relationship? Like what can they look for?
Well, some things that we need to look for would be an individual that already kind of is functioning on their own, without depending on anyone else, I would say, would be very important. So, of course, you want somebody that has a job, has their own income, doesn't live with their parents. There's a lot of nice people that live with their parents, but I just think it's important to just be with somebody that doesn't. Someone that's already kind of living a life where if you're not there, they're still functioning very well, if that makes sense.
So somebody that's well established,
yeah,
doesn't have any baggage claim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Baggage claim.
No baggage claim, guys. Stop picking up baggage. Oh, you know, it's going to weigh you down. It's going to drain you and it's going to stress you out. So find somebody that's stable, established. Find somebody that knows what they want in life. Because if you got somebody that doesn't know what they want in life, you're not going to go anywhere.
Right.
You know, you're going to stay stuck with that person. You're going to stay in the same situation.
Right.
So misery likes company. Yeah. So try to find somebody that's happy.
Right. And you'll know in the first couple of conversations you have. I mean, listen, we put on a really good first impression for a couple of months the first time we're dating someone. So you do have to take those initial months and that initial impression with a grain of salt. However, if you're talking to someone, you're getting to know someone and they're talking about their hobbies and they're talking about their friends and the things that they're interested in, and they are asking what you're interested in and they're asking about what you do, right? And they're not talking about their exes. They're not talking up ill of their family. You want to look for someone that's mature, that's able to, talk well about other people and be articulate and has good relationships,
yes,
is really good with people. One thing that I always tell people to look for, and I tell my clients to look for, is how they treat the waitress and waiters when you're out to dinner. If they treat them like the help and they're nasty, that's a good indicator
that they are going to treat you the same.
Yeah. And a lot of people listening will be like, well, they're not going to treat me the same because I'm the one that's on the date with them. But like, no, that is what happens. If they don't respect the people that are serving them, that's a really big indicator of an issue. And that goes for anywhere you go. Watch how they treat people. Another thing that I think is important is just paying very close attention to how they treat their mother.
Oh, that's big.
And their sisters. And if you're with a woman, how does she treat her father and her brothers? I just think that that's very important.
That's big.
To look for. If you have a man that is able to look out for their mother and take care of her, mm-hmm, in a way that isn't necessarily codependent or inappropriate, but in a way that he's supposed to, that's a good indicator that he's a very respectful, good man.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Right. If you're with a woman that, was with, I don't know. There's a lot of women with daddy issues. Mm-hmm. You have to be careful with this because we repeat these patterns, right? So women will repeat the patterns with the men that they're with. If their dad was absent, mm-hmm, or if their dad was not emotionally available, they will put all of their daddy shit on you.
And that's why I said what I said earlier. You gotta know the person. You gotta learn about the person's background and their family history, right, so you can have an idea of what you're really getting yourself into.
Now, I'm sure a lot of people though are listening, going, "How do you get that history?" Well, you have to wait.
It takes time.
That means don't jump in bed with someone before you know that information.
But can they wait, Jill? Can they really wait? Especially this generation that we live in?
They don't want to. We don't want to. And I understand that. We really need to, because it's scary in this generation. We're very detached emotionally. We're meeting people through social media and online, and we don't know anything about them. And all we know is what we're reading.
Yeah. All you know is what you're reading, and you just want to have sex.
You just want to have sex.
You just want to have sex.
You know the person, right? It's like, let's just get this done now, and we're just going to get together, and everything's going to be fine. You know what the worst fucking thing is? You know what I saw? I have to tell you this real quick. I know you want to say something, Ben. Just hold on. So Edgar and I started watching this show, 90 Day Fucking Fiance. Did you see that? 90 Day Fiance?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God. If you ever want to see what not to do, this is what not to do. And basically, like, the TV producers or whatever put these people together. They were dating people online, mm-hmm, right? And they finally got to meet each other, and then they're getting married. And you watch them throughout the 90 days before they get married of what this looks like. And it's just horrendous. It's like, they don't love each other. They're chaotic. They're crazy. And it's a gem to watch, I got to tell you, but it's really depressing because this is what's going on in the world. This is the society right now. And Edgar and I were just like, oh my God, this is disgusting, but we can't stop watching it because it's like watching a car accident. You can't look away. But if you want to know what not to do, just watch that. I think it's on, I don't know, A&E, one of those channels, something
nice.
Like that. It's really, really bad. But that's the society that we're in. So you don't know these people. And what's happening is we are believing a fantasy right? This movie fantasy, this Tom Cruise fantasy that everything's going to be beautiful.
Jay-Z and Beyonce fantasy.
Right. And they are weird. I love Jay-Z and Beyonce, and I'm probably, the Illuminati is going to come after me for saying this. I know it. But here's the thing. I'm willing to take that risk. They're weird. There's something weird going on there just between you, me, and everybody listening. Don't you think they're weird?
I don't know, man. I don't follow celebrities. I wouldn't know.
Oh, you should. You should take a look. They're all Illuminati'd out.
Oh, man.
I think they they're like the leaders of the universe or something. I feel like they're like aliens from another planet.
Oh, no.
That are just taking over.
It's not good.
Anyway.
back to relationships.
Back to relationships.
So what I wanted to say earlier, I understand that sex is good, the pleasure is good. You know, sex can be a good thing. Sex can be a bad thing. So you know what I think?
What do you think?
I think sex can distract a lot of relationships. Mm-hmm. It prevents people from really getting to know their significant other. You know, I think it clouds the brain. It clouds the mind. It distracts you. You become so driven by sex and lusting after your partner, you're not even thinking about true love. You don't even know what that is because you're just into the sex, you know?
Yeah.
So that can be an issue.
Totally. No, totally. I think there's a difference between being intimate with someone and really opening up to someone emotionally and also having, you know, a sexual relationship. Mm-hmm. And then there's just being with someone superficially and acting out on lust like you're talking about. I think there's so many people that just don't know the difference. I mean, I can say for me, Edgar has seen me at my emotional worst, at my physical worst, mm-hmm. And loves me just the same and never has strayed away, you know, like he's been there when I'm sobbing on the floor and he's been there when I'm the happiest in the world. So that's a good indicator of like when you're really opening up, that's real intimacy with someone.
Yes.
They've seen everything about you and that's they still want to have sex with you. That's a good sign.
A good sign. And that's a good sign that you're in a healthy relationship. You know, when your partner is opening up to you and you're receiving it well, that's a good sign.
Right.
You're really getting to know the person.
Right. But if you're just getting together just to have sex, then what?
Nothing happens.
And you know that when you're in it. Because I've been in that.
Yeah.
You know that that's all you're doing. And you just have this small talk, you know, and you're like trying to act like there's more there. But there isn't.
There isn't. And you're not really learning about the person. You're wasting a lot of days. You're just having
and you
sex.
You feel bad about it.
You feel drained.
You feel ashamed, too. You feel like I'm such a whore. Look at me, right? That's the truth.
Yeah, it is. I've heard a lot of stories. Yeah, trust me. I've heard a lot of regrets, a lot of stories, all surrounded by guilt, shame, and feelings of low self-worth.
Yeah.
I've heard it all.
Yeah. And that's why we do it, isn't it? You know, that's why we get wrapped up in those kinds of relationships, the physical relationships, because we don't know we have so much more to offer, mm-hmm. you know, and we're just using our bodies.
Yeah. And so that's sad.
That's very sad.
You know what? Another way that you can know that you're in a healthy relationship. Somebody told me this. You know what they told me?
What?
Make your significant other angry. Just make her angry. Make him angry, make her angry, and just see what happens.
Oh, this sounds like...
You know?
This sounds like quite a toying type game here.
It's like...
Just frustrate them? Yeah. On purpose?
I mean, I'm not trying to say like make them mad on purpose, but you want to know how a person acts when they're angry. Mm. You know, you want to know how well this person handles conflict, how well this person handles frustration, how well is their frustration tolerance.
Well, yeah, that's very true.
You got to know that side of that person because you can be like, I can meet you and you're always happy. And I'm like, oh, Jill is fantastic. She's always smiling. She's always happy. And then one day you get mad and you're a totally different person. And then what?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, I chose the wrong girl.
Right. So, all right. So what do you think you would do to kind of test that out?
Probably something small, like something very minute. Like, mm-hmm. let's say you ask me to do something small and I'm like, no, you do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm sick of it. I'm tired. You know?
You're going to get punched in the face. By me, anyway.
But you get what I'm trying to say, right? You want to know.
No, I know.
You want to know how the person acts when they're angry.
Absolutely.
And how well they're going to handle the dispute. Absolutely. If they handle it in a great way where they're able to compromise, where you guys are able to communicate with each other,
right.
then you're in a healthy relationship.
Right.
If they handle it in a way where they're cursing at you, where they're throwing a tantrum, where they're acting violent, mm-hmm. then you're in a toxic relationship.
Got
so
it.
That's what I'm really talking about. That's what I'm meaning, you know?
Oh, of course. Yeah. We want to see what's going to happen. Like, you know, I got a funny story on this, actually. Edgar and I were at Lowe's one day. This is before we moved into our new apartment. And I ran into Lowe's to get the big carpet cleaning thing, you know, because we had to clean out the old place, right? And so I go in and I go to get it. And he, you know, I thought he was just going to be out front. When I came back, I was only going to be a few minutes. Well, I came out into the parking lot and he was nowhere to be found. Right. And so I'm walking up and down the fucking parking lot. And I'm so pissed off. And so we both found out what it looks like to be agitated that day.
Yeah.
So I lose my cool because I have a very short fuse and I'm an Italian stallion. So I'm going all over the place and I'm walking up and down the parking lot and I can't find him anywhere. And I'm so mad. And I got this carpet cleaning thing and I'm so fucking mad. And then I find him and he's all the way in the back, like the furthest spot you could ever imagine. And he's on his phone and I go walking back there and I start screaming at him and I'm like, 15 minutes I've been walking around the parking lot for 15 minutes. Where were you? What are you doing? Because I didn't have my phone on me. And he's like, all right, okay, well, you know, I'm right here. And I'm like, but I didn't know where you were. You know, like I'm freaking out. And he's looking at me and I totally lost my cool. And he de-escalates when I'm like escalating like that. Mm-hmm. And he's like, mm-hmm. And I got all agitated and I went to joke with him and I had a bottle of water, right? And I like tossed some water on him. Well, that was a bad thing to do.
Oh.
So he looked at me and he's like, oh no. Oh no. And he told me, he's like, that day I was about to break the lease. And he's like, and I was going to leave you in the middle of the parking lot.
Whoa.
Because he saw how I get when I escalate.
Yeah.
And I saw how he gets when he feels disrespected or pissed off. Right. And then that day, that was a big bonding experience for us. Because instead of reacting too much after that, we actually kind of got to know each other a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then it changed our outcome from that point forward. Wow. Like the way we deal with each other, you know? So it's a really funny story. So nowadays, he like jokes with me and he's mm-hmm. like, 15 minutes. Were you in there for 15 minutes? Has it been 15 minutes? Anyway, so you make it fun. But that is a good point. We need to know what it's going to look like.
Yeah, you got to know.
And my puppy is barking in the background. That's all right. He's yelling at the pillows. There are three things that people also need to know about a good relationship and what it needs to have.
The three C's.
The three C's. And those are commitment, communication, and compromise.
He has no compromise right now.
Oh my God, he's jumping up on the couch. He's so cute. So commitment, communication, and compromise. Commitment, what does that look like? Well, first and foremost, we were talking about cheating before.
Yeah.
That is not commitment.
Yeah, that's like absolutely no commitment. That's way at the end of the spectrum.
Right.
If you're cheating, you're not committed. What does commitment look like? Like what does commitment look like? I'll tell you what commitment looks like. Even if you're upset at your partner, you still love them. You're still the same person before and after, no matter what they did to you. Now, if they cheated, that's a different story. That's a different scenario.
Totally.
You know? So we're not telling you to stay with anybody if they have cheated on you. That's not what we're saying. Everybody has a different relationship. Everybody has a different circumstance. Commitment. Commitment in the long run. You got to do whatever it takes to save your relationship.
Yeah.
If you're committed to somebody, you're not going to let minute things break up their relationship. You're not going to let anything get between it. You know, you're really right. Going to give it your all. That's commitment.
You're not going to like falter and end the relationship over something petty.
Exactly.
And silly. You're going to work through it.
And you're going to work through it. And you guys are going to compromise and work together.
By communicating.
By communicating. Oh!
Yes.
You see how that rolls like that?
I love it. I love it. Oh, I love it.
Oh, my goodness. Sometimes I really impress myself. They all work together.
They do.
They all work together. And I think, I mean, what you're saying about commitment, that's so important because I think we're just, I think, I don't know. I think a lot of people just like to give up.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times, I think a lot of people like to give up because they react on their emotions.
Right.
You know, like if you made me angry or if I'm sad, I would just be like, I'm done with this. I'm right. done. It's over. I'm never going to do this again.
Your face right now. You've definitely said that to someone.
Hell yeah. What?
I was so
I was so weak.
Oh, like, I was a psycho too. We are done. How dare you not order the pizza that I wanted or something dumb. Yeah. What do you mean? Who's that girl calling you? It's my mother. Who's that? Like a psycho.
Psycho. Like, psycho. Why are you hiding your phone?
Right.
You know, I called you at 7 o'clock. It's 8 o'clock and you're still not answering me?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh.
I can't, like, even as I look back on the way I was, I'm nauseous.
Yeah, I know.
But that shit happens. It happens now, and it's happening to somebody that's listening. So, you know, we've been there, we get it. But commitment is important. You have to be able to work through things, reasonable things anyway. Mm-hmm. If someone, like, you know, if your partner gets sick or something, you know, you have to be able to be there for them, take care of them.
Like one of my buddies, he is actually paralyzed from the waist down.
Yeah.
And his wife is still there for him. Yeah. She's still taking care of him. Aww. She's not cheating on him as far as I know. Mm-hmm. That's love. That's commitment. Mm-hmm. You know, I always tell people when I was in a hospital for 7 days, mm-hmm. my girlfriend slept in the hospital with me.
Of course.
You know? So right. when I saw that, I was like, oh, she got to be the right one.
Oh,
you know, it's like that. Yeah. Commitment, baby.
Yeah, baby. Good job, girl. That's what you need to do. Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. I had a medical thing too once, and it was like this wound that I had in my back, and it had to heal. And Edgar, this is love, man. I mean, he had to clean the wound for me because I couldn't see it on a few occasions.
Wow.
And so he would do that for me and help me bandage it up. So like, that's love too.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's love for sure.
So that's what commitment is. It's not all about you. It's about being there for someone else.
Yeah. So and, if you really want to be committed, you got to be selfless.
Oh yeah. Right.
Because if you're selfish, you're really not going to be committed because you're only going to be thinking about yourself. How selfish is that?
So selfish, self-centered fucker. Exactly. And then communication is so important because a lot of people do not communicate. They're not talking about what's bothering them. Maybe you're not arguing with your partner. And what that means is you could be holding a lot of things in and then you're snapping later. You know those people that bring up everything that you've done over the past 10 years because they've never told you as it was happening and they throw it all in your face? These are the people that I'm talking about.
I hate that, man. And then you ask them, what's the matter? Oh, nothing. I'm fine. Yeah. You're lying in my face. How are you fine when you're obviously sad?
Yeah.
You're not talking to me.
Right.
You're quiet, but you're fine.
Yeah.
Stop lying.
Yeah. So, 'cause you can tell.
You can tell. And it's like, am I an idiot? I'm not an idiot.
Right.
I've been with you for this long. I know who you are.
Right.
You know, I know you. Who do you think you're talking to? You're not fine. So communication is big. You got to talk to your partner.
You got to talk. Even if you think it's silly. You know, I get mad at things all the time, but I will talk to him about it. I will tell Edgar, hey, this is what's on my mind. And I know it's ridiculous, but mm-hmm. I'm just saying it. And he'll say, you know, hey, like, you need to calm the hell down, and then we'll talk it out. You know, so you have to be open about your communication and compromise. You know how that rolls. So sometimes your boyfriend may or girlfriend may want to see a movie that you don't want to see, or they want to do something. You got to like bite the bullet.
Yeah,
and
man.
Then it's on you next week. It can be your week, but work
it's okay.
Them. It's okay.
Sometimes you just got to take the hits, baby. You got to take the hits.
That's it.
Especially if you're a male.
Yeah.
Stop crying. Stop complaining. Oh, today was my day. Today was my day to go. Why do you get to go today? What? Suck it up.
Yeah.
Oh,
suck it up.
God,
stop being
man.
A little bitch. It's give and take.
It's yeah, give, it's and, give take. And take. It's give
and if
take.
One person's taking all the time, that's something you need to communicate about
yep.
and you need to talk about and figure out. All right.
Got to talk about it.
Okay. So that's our episode on relationships. I hope you guys enjoyed. I know we did. And I just want you to know we're in wonderful relationships, so we know exactly what we're talking about. Hopefully
yep.
it stays that way. Knock on wood.
Knock on wood, baby. So here's the deal. If you are in a toxic relationship, please get out. Get out and find a healthy partner.
Yes. And if you are supportive of our show, you can also donate to keep this show going and also subscribe on our Anchor podcast. Feel free to check out the link on our profile page. And we are so grateful for all of your donations and your subscriptions. We hope you guys have a great week. Take good care.